I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Work experience lad with us today. Oh, not anymore, we don't. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. Lovely to have your ears. Oh, and there's three chaps with me. Can you believe it? The pride of Essex. It's Jim Campbell.
Hello.
Oh, Jimmy, how are you?
I'm good.
People's champion, Pete Donaldson's here.
MC Skibbity, yes.
And it's the face. It's Luke Moore.
All right.
How you doing, boys? Everybody good? Marvellous. Now then, the League Cup final has been settled, and the winning goal was down to an error. What I'd like to ask you, beautiful men, can you remember a mistake that changed a big match? Maybe even cost a team it? James Hodge.
Well, obviously I'm still very, very bitter about the whole thing, so I'm feeling quite, you know, self-harmy. So I'm going to continue that vein and go for when Naeem scored from near the halfway line against David Seaman in the Cup Winners' Cup final. And obviously it was like really, really late on. It'd been a really tight game.
Was that a mistake,
gutting
though?
Well, Seaman was far off his line, wasn't he?
It was a great strike.
It was, yeah. I'm not taking anything away.
It was
away
very
from
high,
it.
Wasn't it?
Just incredibly, ridiculously high.
I don't know how he managed to think, right, well, I don't know how much to calibrate his foot to sort of go, just deal with one dimension rather than adding in height as well.
Do you think now if it had been in, I forget, there's only a few stadiums with the camera above the pitch.
Azteca and Mexico City.
I don't know if it was a camera, but would it have hit that? I mean, those kind of cameras could stop more naive efforts.
I used to play, when I was played as a kid on Sundays, there used to be a team we used to play away at called Funtley.
Funtley? Yeah.
That's not a joke. It's not even a joke.
Funtley.
They used to have a load of electric cables over the pitch.
What?
That's a pile.
You used to play under a pylon.
Stupid. Yeah, it was stupid. Yeah. It wasn't that high. It was about 30 foot high.
They should have a big net, just like about like 50 feet up in the air, and if you can get it in, it should count as a goal.
Like a big basket,
because that wouldn't ruin the beautiful
Set?
Game.
Is that
it,
you?
James?
But didn't 2006? Didn't Paul Robinson hit the scoreboard
in Germany? Yeah. Mm. It was a camera.
I thought it was this big scoreboard.
No, it was a camera that was one of those ones on the wires above the pitch.
I forgive you then.
Pete, what have you got for us, babe?
Self-destruction as an art form. Citizen Zidane doing the headbutt.
Oh, right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I suppose that was, yeah.
Because he would have taken a penalty, and God knows he could hit a ball.
Yeah.
Oh, an interesting one there, sending off.
Well, he let him on down,
didn't he? Directly cost the game, though, didn't
he? He was a very talented player, and to be fair, he was a player who could have changed the match. But I do understand that he would have taken a penalty, definitely, surely.
But it was a mistake in the beginning. And actually, I thought France. I mean, he had a header that was tipped over the bar in the extra time. I mean, I think
that should have been the moment, shouldn't it?
Yeah, it should have. It should have. Allow it, Luke.
Okay, well, it's fine. I'm just having a little. Pop.
Don't allow him to allow it. It's up to you to allow.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you mean. Carry on, Luke.
I'll go for World Cup 1990, any excuse. Mm. Second round, Colombia versus Cameroon.
Oh!
Now you're talking. 0-0 at full time. Three goals scored in extra time. And the winner.
In that space of about 5 minutes.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I think the first one was about 105 minutes. Last one was about, I don't know, about 112 or something. But
okay,
yeah, right.
Okay.
And the winner was Higuita coming way out of his line for Colombia.
Yes, of course.
And Roger Mia nipped in there. To be fair to Higuita, he gets the ball about 40 yards out. Gives it simple to a defender who then passes it straight back to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think he's expecting it. He tries a Cruyff turn, it goes horribly wrong, and Roger Mier nips in, and then Higuita tries an outrageous 2-footer to stop him, but Mier's not having it, and that's that. 2-1. It's over.
An excellent choice from Luke Moore there, ladies and gentlemen.
It featured World Cup 90, Hanna Gita.
And Roger Miller.
And Barry Davis doing the commentary.
Well, you're sneaking that in late.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he did or not.
I'll tell you one game he did do the commentary on, which was a big moment, which... Well, perhaps it didn't change the game, but it's more of an honourable mention. Pat Bonner.
Bonner.
It's been well too long since we mentioned that.
Yeah, that's right. What I'm going to choose was when England were playing France at Euro 2004. Zidane tucked away the penalty to make it 1-1 after Lampard had scored. And that was gutting enough. Mm. And then Steven Gerrard does a very, very silly back pass.
Yeah. It was more of a through ball to Thierry Henry, wasn't it?
James took him out, didn't he?
Yeah.
Mm. He had nothing, there's nothing he could do, though, J-Mo.
Yeah. And then 2-1. That was when Zidane did a sick.
He did, yeah. That's for the penalty.
Yeah. Luke Moore's got the points.
Yes.
Business as usual. You heard the cocktail of what he came up with.
A potent mix. I think we can all agree.
It's like a PowerPoint presentation with Luke. He just sort of goes, right, it's got this person in, it's got this person in. Yeah. In summary, I rock. Give me the points.
If it was a cocktail,
what's Marcus's criteria?
If it was a cocktail, it was definitely a Margarita.
Nice. Surprisingly good, Luke.
Thank you very much.
At an early juncture as well.
Yeah. You won the points last week, I think, James.
Yeah, I'm just bitter about not winning things this week, particularly.
Yeah. Funny, typical.
Dear. That does move us on neatly to a great win for Birmingham City in the League Cup final. First trophy in a long, long time for them. Mm.
They've won it twice, haven't they?
Yeah, it was 63, was it?
I think it was
the first time they won it. Yeah, as I got here for recording tonight, Pete was trying to find what player it was that like slapped Laurent Koscielny on the back of his head after the second goal went in, and he was just like really rewinding it to find out exactly what happened. So I had to watch the goal over and over again and hear Loro making his pithy little comments as if Pete was deliberately torturing me.
It's Pete's little stat truck, replay truck.
Lawrence was in sparkling form. He kept going on the really weird flights of fancy around different pop culture
Twitter
references that are about 20 years out of date. Yeah. At one point, Steelers he went
wheel.
Yeah, stuck in really? The, stuck in the middle with you, Steelers wheel.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. No, he did. Yeah, it was because it was Drogba to the left, Viali to the right, and he went
stuck in the middle with you, Steelers wheel. Took ages to think of it as well. Yeah.
I remember how he said the band name as well.
Yeah, it's less a joke, more sort of what's the first thing that's coming to my
word
head.
Association.
Yeah.
There was a lovely bit of commentary. We spoke about radio commentary a few weeks ago, but Robbie Savage is worth listening back to. I think it's in the middle when they score the goal, basically.
Yeah.
And he goes mental.
Yeah.
Just noises.
That's a really good impression.
Just noises.
Yeah, that's a good impression. Yeah. I really think on a more serious note, I mean, Arsenal didn't really get to grips with Birmingham midfield.
No.
And a real interesting one was, I'm not sure if you watched the BBC coverage, but they had an interview with Wenger beforehand, and the interviewer, I forget who it was, said, and what are Birmingham's strengths? And Wenger said, oh, they're very strong and technically good in midfield with Bowyer and Ferguson. Well, why play Rizicki in there then?
Yeah, no, Rizicki had an absolute mare, didn't he?
He should have had Nasri in there.
Bowyer was excellent. Yeah, I think so. I think Nasri shines whenever he's sort of put in the centre.
He's been one of the best Arsenal's best players this season.
Well, he's been arguably one of the best players in the league, I would think. Yeah. It seems strange.
But Rizicki sort of come back into form a little bit, hasn't he? He played a couple of all right matches.
It's an odd gamble. It's a very strange move.
He wouldn't be playing, wouldn't he? If it wasn't for Fabregas. Fabregas would have played ahead of him.
But still, and Arshavin coming off instead of Rizicki was interesting as well. But I mean, like I say, credit to Birmingham. I think Arsenal had sort of more shots on target and more possession and stuff, but they actually, you know, made theirs count. And early on as well, there was so much fortune for Arsenal with Szczesny not getting sent off and giving away a penalty, which he definitely should have.
It wasn't offside, was it?
No, it wasn't, no. And so there was a huge let off there, and sort of like the luck just tipped completely the other way by the end of it.
Every time
luck or
Martins,
incompetence.
every time Martins used to play for Newcastle against Arsenal, they always used to run scared because he's a little bit nippy and he can hit a ball, and they always just hit a back off
scored
him.
Against,
and they still do that.
Scored against us when he played for Inter once as well at Highbury. And Birmingham ran at Arsenal a lot. They weren't afraid to do that, and Arsenal stood off them quite a bit.
It was a great cup tie.
It was a really good
game. Blood and thunder. Bar hit, post hit, end to end.
Stephen Carr was brilliant.
Yeah, he was.
He was excellent.
Like, he was taking on players and stuff. I was like, where's this come from?
Van Persie's goal was brilliant as well.
Yeah.
It's sort of been lost amongst the chaos.
It was a good feeling.
He injured himself doing it. He did that against Man United once. He actually broke his foot equalising.
That's how fragile he is.
Much he cares.
And determined.
Yeah.
The Birmingham goal was a Ben Foster pass for me. It was an assist because he leathered the ball as hard as he could.
Yeah.
I was
put everything into that.
It was funny. Paul Merson was going mental after the game, just saying, "What? Why doesn't Wenger just go out there and buy a proper set? Get Cahill. You've won the cup."
Yeah,
he was going. If they've got Foster and Johnson at the back, they've won it. Game over.
Yeah.
Well.
I mean, Koscielny's been playing very well lately. It's a shame that such a horrible error.
I do think Koscielny's okay. I mean. One thing I will say is his performance against Barcelona was massively overrated by a lot of people. I mean, he had a good second half. Mm. The first half, he was nowhere near Messi.
No.
And it's not his fault, of course, but the press the next day was saying, oh, Messi was in his pocket and stuff. Not true.
No.
And it's not helpful to say that either.
Messi
had a couple of chances.
Messi could have legitimately got a hat-trick there because the goal should have stood that he did score. Mm. And, you know, just because Messi got through and didn't score doesn't mean that he didn't get through. Do you know what I mean?
No, exactly. And as I said to Marcus actually around the same time we recorded. There's a difference between if you play centre back at whatever level you play at, you know when you've had the striker in your pocket, mm-hmm. or you've been really lucky because he's not scored, he's had a load of chances, and you know that, and I'm sure he knows. But Koscielny was at fault for the second goal. Arguably, you could blame Chesney as well, but the first goal was Jura's fault because he left Zegic. He left him. He was marking him, and you saw him follow the ball.
Chesney flapped at it as well. Van Persie had to come over and just throw himself at it, didn't he?
Yeah, that's
which
right.
Was just odd.
But like, as Marcus said, I mean, the second goal, at any level, you'd be disappointed with that. You'd think, oh God, I can't believe that's happened. You know, so it's a bit of a weird one.
A weird one indeed. But the cup belongs to Birmingham.
And full credit to them, because they didn't go out to kick lumps out of Arsenal. They played well, and they really battled hard.
McLeish is...
we loved it.
Did a good job there, isn't he?
His
trophy records are quite impressive, actually. I mean, obviously, he's won quite a bit of stuff in Scotland. And it's good for him to get a trophy in England.
Mm. Mm, definitely. I mean, the thing is that people say Birmingham are still in trouble in the league, but really, everyone in the bottom half is. There's six points separate in the bottom half.
I think that's
And West Ham are climbing off the bottom. It's like, oh, God, what's happening?
Yeah. Well, we move on to West Ham then. It was a lovely goal from Scott Parker.
It was brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah. They played excellently well.
He kissed the camera, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. It's a Gerrard special.
Take Jimmy! Yeah.
That's what I would shout every time I scored if I was
in. Denver Bar, West Ham!
I prefer to call him Dembaba.
Yeah, okay.
I just like that more. But he's been a great signing for them, isn't he? I think West Ham, you know, it was interesting that Gary O'Neill and Dembaba combined for the second.
As we were saying,
their signings have really given them some momentum. Mm. They've used a transfer like market very, very well.
He's a very underrated player, in my opinion, Gary O'Neill. I can't believe he was in the Championship for as long as he was, because he's too good for the Championship. And that midfield that West Ham had against Liverpool, Hitzlsperger, Parker, and Noble, that's a good midfield.
Well, Hitzlsperger, they've been really unlucky with him, because, I mean,
he's a good player.
Two games back, like now, is it he's playing for them?
Because he's been injured.
He's doing really well in a pre-season. They're all very excited about him, and he just looked dangerous, didn't he? And you know, there's a screamer. He's only like a few games away at any one time.
With exactly.
Rocket of a foot he's got on him.
Here they come, West Ham.
Mm. I think they'll stay up. I'll put him on a count then.
Liverpool couldn't deal with that midfield three. I mean, Lucas, who's normally pretty reliable. Morelos wasn't in the game.
No.
And they went off. But
Gerrard was quiet as well.
He was. And they can't play. If they play like that every week, there's no chance.
Reina should have done a lot better for the third goal.
Oh, God, that was woeful.
Yeah, I mean, especially given the stakes that Liverpool just scored as well. Yeah. You've got to be switched on.
It's a sickener, because they just completely left the back door open. There's no way Reina should have let that through his fingers. It was stupid.
Stupid indeed. Wigan got beaten 4-0 by Manchester United. Oh,
figuratively and literally.
Yeah. Yeah. Wayne Rooney's elbow.
How's he got away with that?
Is James McCarthy going to be banned for headbutting Wayne Rooney in the elbow?
Well, the referee dealt with it in the game, so I wouldn't think he
would.
Well,
you say he dealt with it.
I mean, is that not a...
It was a pity because he played quite well, and he laid on a couple of decent chances for other people. And
is it annoying that the FA's hands are tied there, because they go to Clattenburg and say,
well, they're tied because of Clattenburg. They had the option if Clattenburg had said, I don't think I dealt with it because this isn't what I saw, blah blah blah, then they could have done something. But Clattenburg himself has said he doesn't think.
But if Clattenburg comes out and says, oh, I haven't, yeah, you might want to give him a bit more punishment, that looks like Clattenburg's a bit incompetent.
No, it's way off the ball. Come on, he's got to go with the ball.
Yeah, but maybe that's what Clattenburg's thinking.
The problem is the technicality. The fact that if Clattenburg is what a lot of people say he is, and he's a bit egotistical, and he sort of seems to be quite pally with the players, if he's one of those characters, let's face it, referees are
M-class.
A certain type of character. If he's not readily going to admit if he's missed something or made a mistake, then the technicality comes into play and nothing can be done. It's crazy. It's not the referee's fault in a way. They should be able to look at
everything. No, it's not at all.
And the thing is, if they do look at everything retrospectively, it's a bit of a floodgate gets open and it can be a bit tricky. But that cannot be allowed to go on.
Clattenburg should be saying to the FA, I saw there was an infringement, clearly. Or there was a coming together, whatever you want to call it. But he didn't see it because he'd have sent him off.
Yeah.
And so he should say that to the FA and then they should take the
ball. Well, he missed it or he's incompetent. It's yeah. take your pick.
Away from that, though, what is Rooney doing? I didn't see the game itself. I just saw the highlights of it. But was there an earlier incident between them?
Because it appeared... He was knocked over at one point in the goal mouth, as I recall. I don't think it was by that player.
He just does it.
But he's not learning. Well, there are reams and reams of column inches written about how he's not learning and how he keeps doing these crazy things. And he's got Alex Ferguson there, surely telling him to cut all this out.
What about Ferguson and Phelan?
They piped up, didn't they?
They were just like, can we not just let the referee get on with his job? They both said, I mean, can you believe that?
It appears we literally can't. But you know what? And the Wayne Rooney thing is, like, it's very tempting just to go, you know what? He's a young man. Like, he's 25 now.
Yeah.
He's 25. If he was 17 and breaking into the scene and he was a bit of a raw talent.
He's been going for 9 years.
Exactly. He's that stupid.
That's
stupid.
Crazy, isn't it?
If not to see John.
I'm getting old.
Yeah.
Not to see John Hartson on Match of the Day, too.
He was not happy, was he?
He wasn't happy at all.
It was good to see a sort of genuine kind of.
Punditry.
genuinely angry opinion. Just somebody who's not sort of been chained to just
spitting
pleasantries. Which means he almost certainly won't be invited back.
Yeah. For somebody who's never done anything off the ball in his footballing career.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll take a bill.
Just because he's a hypocrite doesn't mean he's wrong.
No, it's true, yeah.
And also, for anyone to interrupt Mark Bright, thumbs up.
It's a skill in itself. Yeah. I tell you, it's a skill in itself.
Oh, dear. Go on then. Ashley Cole shot a work placement boy with a air rifle.
Carlo Ancelotti says that this doesn't mean that there is sort of like unrest and a lack of kind of discipline or whatever at Chelsea. I don't care what the context is, your left back has shot a 21-year-old work experience kid.
At work.
Yeah, at work. don't care what the context is. That there is, it's unruly.
He brought an air rifle to training.
Yeah.
It's not just sat around there.
On the BBC website, it actually said, Chelsea manager, the headline was, Chelsea manager Carlo Ancelotti says there is not a disciplinary problem at the club after Ashley Cole accidentally shot a work placement student. Now imagine waking up from a coma and reading that. Man City are third and the shooting's gone on.
Yeah, yeah. What is happening?
It's like,
here?
What is going on?
David Nugent's got two goals in two games and someone shot someone. The thing is, and one of the sort of... the sort of reactions I've read, which I don't accept, and a lot of people have said it, is, oh yeah, you know, but if it wasn't Ashley Cole, it wouldn't be a story. It's a player with a gun at work. It would be a story.
Shot someone.
Yeah. It's the most high powered gun you can own without needing a license.
Yeah. Yeah.
It drew blood.
It's absolutely ludicrous. Yeah. But I mean, that's a childish thing to be doing as well, isn't it? Like, even pointing a plastic gun at someone is just not
someone
nice.
It's a dickhead manager sort of, like, it reminds me of being in an office and a manager going, oh, I've got a toy gun that shoots little fun balls at you. I'm funny.
Well, it's just this horribly bullying alpha male thing to be doing, isn't it? It's pointing a gun at a work experience kid.
To be fair though, he won't be work experience for very long. He will have a job. That was guaranteed. Shoot me.
Injury lawyers for you.
Yeah.
I saw on one of the tabloids, it said, a source said, the club didn't want this getting out. Well, it's got out because of you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Pat yourself on the back.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe you should have done better shooting the weekend before, yeah?
I saw someone say, once a gunner, always a gunner.
Yeah,
okay. That's not bad.
That's better.
A sauce and a pal. I've got a lot to answer for these things.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Hawk and a hacksaw.
Yeah.
Marvellous. Other little bits of aggression in the air. Manchester City. Fulham, a good point for them, but Hughes and Mancini with a little bit of
arse. If I ever meet Mark Hughes, I'm going to make sure to look him dead in the eye.
He's got a real beating response,
hasn't he?
It was bad by Mancini. It was bad by Mancini. It was really disrespectful, but Hughes has got previous. He's got about not two or three, like four or five problems with handshakes.
Yep. I bet he's just got one of those terrifyingly strong grips on his handshake, so people just don't want to do it after a little while. It's just like, I'll remember what this is like.
Yeah. Mancini was disrespectful, though.
He didn't even look at him. He just went to give him a little sort of fake side five, didn't he? Mm.
And Hughes made sure that his kind of flick away with the hand was noted. Visible. Or felt.
Yeah, there was a bit of afters after that as well, wasn't he? Pointing at his eyes or something.
Oh, that's right.
He must have been saying, look me in the eye.
Did he go to shake, was it David Platt's hand or somebody, and then pulled his hand away?
I don't know.
He's just not let the whole City thing go, has he?
They're in their 40s.
Yes, exactly. Oh, Dad.
Tevez did something quite cheeky as well,
yeah,
didn't he?
That was
he might as well be looking over to Mancini when he did it, sort of thing. You know, oh, he's my friend.
Yeah, it's good golf from Balotelli, though.
It was. Great hit.
He's a terrible hair.
Oh, yeah.
It's awful hair.
Changes every week.
Mm, and it's always bad.
Actually,
it's like this kind of horrendous psychedelic game of Guess Who.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of the League Cup final, Sanya, he's gone for an almost like a little Baggio sort of
thing. He's halfway between, isn't he?
I swear he's gone for a Baggio.
I thought Duff's goal was quite a nice move.
It was a good finish.
It was.
Johnson put a great ball across. Mm. Really hard ball to defend.
Good to see him back.
Absolutely.
But AJ. Still true.
Now, something I'd like to mention here, and we had an email in Ramble Extra last week from a chap called Imran, and it's got to be brought to the main show. Mm. The singing Breda Hangeland's name to the Jurassic Park tune.
Oh, that's right, because we talked about doing Asamoah Gyan to Iron Man by Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
And then Imran emailed back in with Breda Hangeland, Breda Hangeland,
Brilliant.
Breda Hang.
which I think could work.
Well, it also, Asamoah Gyan also works. That
yeah, thing. It does actually. Same syllables. Mm. Yeah, absolutely right.
And it's all about
David
syllables.
Platt.
So full of fans, break the habit of a lifetime and get a song going.
Gabby Anglon Loho.
Jan Vonnegor of Hearthorn.
dear, let's go down to the championship.
Fitz Hall.
Pele. Stop now.
Swansea are second.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Nottingham Forest are down to fifth. We go on about the Forest and up to second last week. They were.
Schmeichel was busy.
Roller coaster.
Yeah, it's mad.
They didn't even lose Forest.
They could go back to third if they win tomorrow, which is the Tuesday. So
it's full programme tomorrow. Portsmouth under Scunthorpe.
Incredible. Pompey. Good away win.
4 wins in a row without conceding a goal and at home to Scunthorpe tomorrow.
They're
winnable.
13th.
I know.
I can't believe
It's timing.
Hey.
Nugent's like scored. Hasn't he scored like all of his goals against Ipswich in the last few series seasons?
They all count.
He loves scoring against Ipswich. Count.
I think you mean Eugenio.
In fairness to Ipswich, Portsmouth were outclassed by Ipswich and they might somehow managed to win 2-0 away.
They're really under the cosh in the first half.
Yeah. It didn't make it count at all.
Steve Cottrell, child's voice.
Yeah, he's really enthusiastic. Yeah. Marcus loves Steve Cottrell. He's a top man.
Top man.
He's like a sort of. He's got a baby Dennis Wise voice.
That's a really, really horrifying image. Yeah. Imagine if you had a baby and it was just a little Dennis Wise.
I was under the impression that a child's Dennis Wise voice is actually Chucky from Child's Play.
Okay, I'll take that. Yeah,
isn't it?
Dear idea. Right, on to the SPL. Oh. The title race is back on.
Stop this.
Hearts have moved to within 9 points.
Suck it, Marcus.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Motherwell 2, Celtic 0, Pete.
Yeah.
Celtic was 17 games unbeaten. Going into that.
Rangers won, so yeah, it's...
It just shows you what an unpredictable league it is, Luke.
Yeah. I mean, literally anyone could win it, Rude.
Well, no, come on, don't be silly. It's between three teams. Hearts drew away to Aberdeen. I was talking to a friend of mine who knows a chap who... things you don't have. Yeah. And
I'm more of a colleague,
one word to describe it. A friend of his plays for Aberdeen Youth. In the youth set up there, and when Mark McGee was in charge, they said he was a miserable sod and like loads of people wanted to leave, but now Craigie Brune and Archie Ox are at the helm.
Well, they're loving it, are they?
The whole feeling, the whole mood of the club has changed. They just, everybody loves them, everybody wants to stay there.
I like to hear that.
It's impossible to hate Craig Brown. That's actually impossible.
But him, Brown and Ox are just like, they'll just have a chat with anybody. The door's always open in the office. If you just walk past, come in son, have a cup of tea here, and they'll just be talking about football.
Great stuff.
That's great.
It's great to hear.
That's why they're my Scottish team. The Dons?
What? Just because of those two? They've only been there recently.
Yeah, you know, a lot of my family from there, Marcus.
Oh, okay. A little bit of more history there.
Yeah. Wow.
Some would say too much.
Right, La Liga. Real Madrid drop points away. Mm.
They hate playing Deportivo, don't they?
And who was on brilliant form for Deportivo to keep him out? Aaron Zubia, the goalkeeper who scored the week before.
Yeah, he had a really good game, actually.
Clean sheet.
Benzema missed an absolute... sitter,
didn't you see it? No,
it just got caught up in his feet. Just as I think it was Ronaldo actually put a really good cross on it, it was like 2 yards out, and he just got it caught up. And you can just, with the pressure Benzema's under at the moment, yeah, and Mourinho clearly doesn't seem to rate him, you really feel for him, but it's like, oh, you've got to be putting that away.
Yeah, you don't help yourself there.
Well, that leads.
Well, Barcelona had quite a lot of players out, didn't they? They had Valdez out, Puyol out, Xavi didn't play. Yeah, it was weird. Dani Alves didn't play.
We're talking of Barcelona, they're not happy with Arsenal's perceived lack of ethics in signing midfielder John Torrell Harper.
They signed him, have they?
Not to my knowledge, but
they're trying to. He's half English,
swings
isn't
and
he?
Roundabouts.
He's half English. He can play for England, I think. I think his mother's English.
He won't.
Oh God, get him! Get anyone!
Yeah. Get in the team now.
Get him! Just get him back. Anyone? Chelsea? Yeah. Just someone.
We'll have half of him. It's fine. We'll tape it, Sean Wright Phillips.
Yeah. Barcelona not happy about this.
No, well, I know.
Odd, isn't it?
It's same for all the Spanish clubs, isn't it? Because the English clubs have this weird loophole where they can offer them professional contracts earlier.
A year earlier.
So Barcelona did try to sign one of Arsenal's youth players last year, though.
Yeah, well, they've done it with Henry. They've done it. They do it all the time.
The point is, they're all at it. Everyone's at it.
And I kind of agree with Barcelona. It is kind of a bit immoral, but so is their pursuit of, you know,
Fabregas
players with
Xavi
coming out every 10 minutes and saying that Cesc Fabregas has got Barca DNA. You know, it's
am I right in saying that Barcelona wants to give a trial to a 6-year-old boy once?
Yeah. It's mad, isn't it?
This little Argentinian kid. It's a waste of time.
He just did it at random. He just went, anybody, you.
Yeah, but the thing about, though, that Messi made his Barcelona debut at 16 and he moved over there when he was about 11 or 12.
The thing about the Fabregas having Barca DNA there is it's not only annoying, it's medically incorrect.
It really is.
The scientific community
Are the results back?
Yeah, they are, yeah.
Definitely. It's just setting the entire world back.
It really is.
School of thought.
My goodness. Serie A time, eh? Palermo 0, Udinese 7.
Alexis Sanchez was absolutely magnificent.
If you're talking about waking up from a coma, if you woke up from a coma and just watched that game, you'd think he was the best player in the world.
Yeah, he was.
The way he went around the keeper for a second goal with a couple of step overs.
Oh, yeah.
Couple of lollipops.
That's
XXXXX on FIFA.
It was amazing. But it has to be said that Palermo's marking, specifically for Udinese's second goal, was, I'm going to stick my neck out and say it's definitely the worst marking I've seen this season.
I'd say that it was all to do with the keeper for me. You'd have to watch 3 seasons of Italian football to see worse goalkeeper. They were just bouncing off his hands. I don't know what he'd put in his glove.
Chocolate wrists.
This is so, they're quite close to each other in the league.
Yeah.
You know,
but one team are taking drugs before they play. I mean, Palermo.
True.
Palermo's managers were under the cosh.
Palermo had a couple of sendings off, but it was, I think the first one was when it was 3-0 and the second one when it was 6-0. But it's good to see a haul and a hat trick.
Oh, yeah.
Not very much so.
Di Natale's first Christmas one was absolutely brilliant.
Di Natale's an absolute textbook Italian gripper.
Yeah.
He's like 33 now. He must be 33. I remember when he was at Empoli, he was a great player, but he's old now. He's still tearing it.
His first header was beautiful. A glancing header in the bottom corner, right. Yeah. Oh,
I do like
a glancing header. But
that's why you miss Sir Les.
I do.
Sanchez scored from a very silly angle as well, for his third or his fourth. It was just brilliant. Mm. I wonder what will happen with him. He's still quite young, isn't he? 22, 23?
Yeah, he's young.
They're going to do well to keep hold of him, I think.
Inter are up to second.
Yeah.
I mean, Napoli have a game in hand, but they're still...
I'd love to see Napoli win it. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Love to see Napoli.
Oh, not Zlatan's Milan.
No, come on, Napoli.
It's different.
Diego's Napoli, whether he's there or not.
Oh, yeah.
He'd be over there.
Diego will be the first one up to collect the trophy.
He'd be over there straight away.
And then they'll take the trophy off of him to pay for
taxes,
his tax.
Yeah, that's right. Speaking of Zlatan, he's had another dig at Guardiola.
Of course he
has. Excellent.
I don't know why he's going on about this, but we will tell you.
Because he's still a
hot-headed lunatic.
And he's still a Barcelona player, effectively, isn't he?
He's basically making sure that Milan sign him.
Yeah. He's burning his bridges.
He said, Barcelona, I understand how football and things can change so fast. My problem was with one man, the philosopher. He said he was comparing Mourinho to Guardiola as well, and he said he would have killed for Mourinho.
I think he means that literally.
I think that might need to happen.
Honorary jiu-jitsu skills.
He said the motivation he gave me and for how he used to stimulate me with the other. He didn't even doesn't refer to Guardiola. He just says with the other there was football, but a coach must adapt his play to suit the players, especially after spending €70 million on one.
Man. Great stuff. He won't let it lie, will he?
No.
He's like Larry David.
Yeah, he is like Larry David.
He won't let anything go. No. He has to pass comment on it.
Even when he's right, he makes himself wrong.
Yeah.
Superb. Del Piero has offered to sign a blank Juventus contract. He's 36 now. He just wants
is
to
Is he saying that
on.
So he can then fill in the details himself?
I'm sure a lot of players would like that.
Yeah. It's what is, he talked about his deep love for the club.
Yeah.
Deep love.
I mean, he's stuck with them when they're in Serie B and stuff. And he's been there
it's
for
nice
donkey's years. He's been criticised, isn't he, for sort of like holding out for loads of money and stuff. And he's claiming that's not true. And I think given what he's given to Juventus, that's really harsh.
Yeah, I think
he's basically said that I could have one last big paycheck, but he's basically said I don't want that. I just want to stay at Juventus.
Ian Wright used to famously not look at his contract, didn't he? He used to go in there and sign it. Apparently, there was no negotiation process. He used to go in there and sign it. So that's fine.
Interesting.
I think that's probably because he started off quite late and he was quite pleased to be a footballer in principle.
Yeah, but will Del Piero have a glittering television career after?
His hope, isn't he pals with Noel Gallagher? They could start a band, mate.
Yeah.
Noel Gallagher's nothing on at the moment.
Exactly. Yeah, that's it.
That'd be good.
Live from Studio Chi. What's five? I can't talk that.
Cinco is Spanish.
So similar. Cinchini. Germany are going to get one of Italy's Champions League spots.
Mm.
It's about time, unfortunately, for Italy.
That comes into effect next season, doesn't it?
2012.
The only thing that stopped it before was the Inter winning the Champions League, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, Germany moved up to third in UEFA's coefficient ranking.
It's a great league, the Bundesliga, as we always say. So it's fair play to them.
It could mark a bit of a, well, it obviously is marking a bit of a power shift, but German teams, you know, haven't and getting to the final last year, they've been poor in Europe over the sort of the past decade, really. And it'd be interesting to see if they that extra place will help them.
But going back a bit further than that, you had obviously Dortmund did well in the Champions League.
But as we know, things go in cycles, and the English league's been great, whereas before it wasn't so much. And
So yeah, three teams from the Bundesliga will go straight into the first round group stages, with one in the preliminary rounds, whereas it'll only be two Italian clubs.
I think that's fair enough.
You've got to be gutted, haven't you, if you're chasing fourth in Italy?
Yeah.
I love the Italian league. It's got a lot of nostalgia for me, but I think that's fair. It's obviously done in a very mathematical process. There's nothing you can say about it.
Yeah, that it has to work like that.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah.
Me and Luke were having an argument whether Lukas Podolski's goal for Cologne at the weekend. In the
Podolski's goal.
You said it was a chip. It wasn't a chip.
I'm with Luke on this, mate.
It was a lob.
Yeah,
it's a lob, definitely.
A chip is a golf shot. It's effectively a golf shot.
But it was side-footed, so that makes it a lob.
It was a lob.
We're not arguing about it.
He did a lob anyway.
It was a lob. Yeah,
it was a lovely lob.
Superb finish. Really was.
Right, Brazil. Ronaldinho. He scored a beautiful free kick in the final of the first phase of the Rio State Championship. So they've won their first trophy.
Great stuff.
So he's off and running.
Been there for like 10 minutes, hasn't he? He's already won something.
Absolutely superb. Right, now, we mentioned Chechnya last week. Of course, there was rumours of the Brazilian 2002 World Cup team going there. Well,
mention Chechnya. Wrong on so many levels.
Ramzan Kadyrov, the Chechnyan leader, has reportedly offered, and it's the first one that's come in, Ronaldo to play for Terek Grozny.
You mean he's offered Ronaldo money?
$8 million, I think.
$8 million, and that's on the hullet.
But isn't his plan for them to get them over to play this like this friendly and just basically not let Ronaldo leave?
That'd be a better way of doing it, wouldn't it?
Not Bella Gutman.
What do you think of that? Would you like to see Ronaldo doing that?
Not really.
No,
I put
him in the dwarf again now.
Yeah.
Stop it.
I like him. I like to think of him out just enjoying himself in Brazil.
Exactly.
I don't see Terek Grozny the best of times. I don't see him now. I'm not going to see him play.
Do you know what? Grozny TV. Ravzad, he's a funny character. Recently he was talking about the possibility of acquiring another wife. He said, "I'm looking, but I can't find a pretty one." And then when someone asked, "What did your wife make of all this?" He said, "Well, if she was against polygamy, I wouldn't have married her in the first place."
Wow.
So that's the type of man he is indeed.
Put 8 million quid out. I'm sure you'd have
some. Well, maybe
shooters.
That's what he's doing. That leads us neatly onto the emails.
Look inside your inbox. Tell us what you find. This is the Football Ramble, and it's email time.
What a jingle.
Amazing.
That
the best one we've
best
had.
By a long way.
Easily the best one we've had. The bar has been raised.
Unbelievable scenes. Thank you very much, Benjamin Bloom, who is a touring musical artist. You can find him at facebook.com/Benjamin Bloom Music. So very nice that was.
Excellent
indeed.
Stuff. Yeah. Really was good.
Indeed. Petski.
Shall I go first?
What have you got for us?
Boston. This is from Zach Sim from Wellington, New Zealand.
It's Good name.
Ramaphosa. I thought you might like a small update on the A-League and some of the truly classic commentary we get treated to down under.
Well, you were right.
Central Coast Mariners and Brisbane Roar recently played out the first playoff semi over two legs. After Brisbane, the best team in the league this year by some distance, won their away leg 2-0, almost everybody has written off the Mariners as having no chance of reaching the final. However, after 45 minutes at Suncorp Stadium, the Mariners had pulled the aggregate score back to 2-2 and looked more than comfortable. When the second half began, the commentators started rolling out some instantly classic phrases. After one commentator accused Brisbane of playing like nervous Nellies, his partner in crime chipped in with my new favourite, saying, "Brisbane are playing like they've got a two-goal gorilla in the backyard."
What?
A two-goal gorilla in the backyard. Then expressed genuine disappointment that Bosnich failed to provide his "back to the action, guys" catchphrase after he brought some news from the sideline. As Brisbane got back into the game, one pundit was heard to say, "There's not a cigarette paper between these teams." And as the replay for Brisbane's equaliser hit our screens, one commentator was heard to say, "He stuck that one where the spiders live."
What, in the top corner?
I guess so.
Yeah, I get it.
I like that one.
Which, as I would expect you football experts to know, is in the top corner.
Oh, there we go.
Keep up the good rambling, lads, and may your backyards remain goal gorilla free. Thank you very much, Zach.
I don't know whether I want a goal gorilla in my guard or not, because I can't fully work out what it is.
If you could score more goals, you'd be a goal gorilla, I think.
Indeed.
Right then, Jimbo.
Ramble forth, ho.
I thought I might alert your attention to the fantastically bad tattoo John Carew has recently got on the back of his rather high up head. The Norwegian striker has The Norwegian striker has Mavi Mez Regles. I believe that's the wrong pronunciation. Which theoretically should translate as "my life, my rules." However, a professor at Oslo University has pointed out the fact that the use of the accent over the word "regles" means Carew's motto translates a little bit differently. Apparently, by using an acute accent instead of a grave accent, Carew's poetic words translate literally as either "my life, my period," or "my life, my menstruation." Cheers.
That is an error.
That is from Matt.
If that's true, that is an error.
Yeah, that is.
On his head as well.
Definitely.
On the back of his head.
Get it right.
I'm speaking as a man with the Cat in the Hat on my leg. That is a bad tattoo.
Pete is the bastion of bad tattoos.
Hey, I never got anything written on it.
Someone was telling me when he was in last year of secondary school, him and his mates were playing, having a game of cards, and the loser had to get a tattoo done. And this lad, he went down to the
Banner!
And he's
Banta!
And he got the tattoo done.
What was it?
It was a Chinese symbol. And
did it mean cliche? Ooh.
It was no, he didn't know what it meant. He just said, "I quite like that one." And then later, some of the Chinese lads at school were laughing, saying, "You just got the word cabbage written on it."
Which that's great. I thought it'd be penis or something like that, but it's quite innocent.
Yeah,
it makes it quite nice.
Right, yeah. Cabbages are never innocent.
Wow, that was oddly sinister.
Yeah. Luke.
Yes, if you remember last week, James or Jim said if you email in with "be a gooner, be a giver" in the subject line of your email, you will win a nice little goodie bag and a couple of tickets to see the charity comedy gig that we're all going to next Monday in London at the Comedy Store. The lucky winner is Ken Cross.
Well done, Ken.
We'll be in touch to let you know how to get your tickets and your booty.
Yeah, it's almost sold out as well, it's worth pointing out. So if you do want to go get your tickets now, there's myself, there's Milton Jones, there's Jack Whitehall, there's Carl Donnelly, who's going to be doing it in a Spurs shirt, so I'll go and get him. Luke, you're pointing at yourself again. You're not on the bill.
I'm going to hold court in the toilet drunkenly.
Everyone,
start your own club.
Listen to this. I've got a few things to get off my chest too. What's all this about toilets, eh?
Good
one, Pete.
See, Pete, you might get on now.
Sweet.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, it's profile time. And today we have a man called William Ralph Dean, otherwise known as Dixie Dean.
They called for it.
The goal machine.
They demanded it.
Was he the goal machine before Brian Dean, goal machine? That's what I worry about.
He put the goal in goal machine. Yeah, that. Do you know what? I'm going to say England's greatest ever goal scorer.
Oh, bold. Prove it.
What do you think about that?
I say prove it.
I say thank you for giving me the chance.
I say thank you, Dixie.
Yeah, that's it. This is all about Dixie Dean.
Greasy's furious.
Yeah, well.
Well.
Don't tell him.
He'll have his moment.
Don't tell him. He's had his moment. Yeah. And what a moment it was. But this is Bill Dixidini started his football career. Oh, he was born on the 22nd.
Thank you very much.
It's not the first time I've done that. I apologise to Grandad. Everybody on behalf of the Speller clan. Born on the 22nd of January 1907.
It's just over 60 years before the Summer of Love.
Yeah.
Which will test you.
And I don't think that's a coincidence.
No. I'd be surprised if it was.
I don't know how you'd prove such a thing.
Well, allow me.
With goals.
Yeah. He started his football career at Tranmere Rovers in 1923. His first season there, his 30 appearances, 27 goals.
A good start.
Hitting the ground scoring.
That he started when he was about 16.
That was over a 2-year period, 23 to 25. Brilliant start. You can't deny.
Yeah.
The only way is down, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, not in his case.
Well. He then went to Everton, which is, of course, where he's extremely fondly remembered, and he moved there in 1925 for £3,000, which was.
A lot of money back then, yeah.
Loads.
It was indeed.
That'd be a lot for me now.
I couldn't afford to sign him now.
No. He scored in his first full season at Everton, 32 goals.
It's not his best season, though, is it, Marcus?
Running.
No.
Yeah. And he was how old at that point?
He'd
have still been quite young, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he was, what, 18?
Still learning this trade.
Yeah. In 1926, he had a serious motorcycle accident. He fractured his skull and jaw. Doctors were surprised he lived through it and said, well, he'll never play football again.
Again, a trailblazer. Yeah. Footballers do that all the time now. Louis Saha did it this week, but they just walk away like without a scratch.
So Louis Saha gets injured all the time, and he just walked completely scot-free away from a car crash.
They all do it.
Charlie Davis didn't do it. He was very badly injured.
But it's
true.
It's like doctors, like, look, as they walk out, don't ever play football again. He's sort of like,
good doctor, not such a good judge of character.
Yeah, that's it. I do what I like.
Yeah.
That's what he liked goals. So he went and got them. What a player he became. Incidentally, his heading was so good that many people thought that after that accident in the hospital, they must have put a steel plate in his forehead. which wasn't, of course, not.
If you watch the highlights of what I think is the 1933 FA Cup final, just headers. Just headers all over the place.
It's a rock hard ball as well, they loved it.
That's it.
So, they thought
proving your manhood to yourself.
Yeah.
They thought he put like a metal plate in it, it was scar tissue. Mainly scoring goals with scar tissue.
Christ. It was swelling that never went down.
Yeah. Now, George Camsell, for Middlesbrough, scored 59 league goals in the 1926-27 season.
Not good enough.
A shoo-in for the Golden Boots.
Not good enough.
worth at least £3,000. Now,
and that was of course a new record, which is an unbelievable achievement. Now, if you'd done that, you'd think, oh, hey, it's going to take a while to beat that
one.
I hope
for his sake that he did not have OCD.
Yeah.
Drive you mad forever.
If you put away 59 league goals, you'd think that'll take a while for someone to break in.
Yeah.
12 months. Yeah. Because in the 1927-1928 season, Dixidini had other ideas. He scored 16 goals in his first 9 games, including a glut in a 5-2 win against Manchester United.
Wow.
Got all 5. He just scoring for fun. Now, with 3 games to go of that season, he needed 9 goals to reach 60. 9-3, that's what he needed. So he got 2 in the first game.
Oh, God.
And then he got 4 in the next one. So they play Arsenal on the last day of the season and needs a hat-trick.
Herbert Chapman's Arsenal.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Certainly was seasons later. And so he needed a hat-trick. And of course, Everton won the league. And so he scored in the first half. He scored 2. He got a penalty as well. And then 8 minutes from the end, he header into the goal. You got the 3. You got the
had Sepp made like the goals, the whole like one side of the pitch a goal that season.
I was about to say Sepp wasn't around him.
Well,
no,
that's
why
that was my job.
60 goals in one
staggering
season.
That will
which
never
is
be,
a record
that will never be beaten.
Which is still stands today. Can you imagine that?
It's a record Europe-wide as well.
Yeah. Can you imagine, like, Camsell, how annoyed... Like, 12 months with 59 goals, and yet how long...
Well, he's got those 12 months. You can't take that away from him.
Well, you can't.
I guess they must have expected that people were, like, scoring 100 goals by now. Future of football.
Yeah.
Definitely. But, I mean, when you look at the season Rooney had, like, obviously not this year, but last year when he had a really good season, and the season Ronaldo had as well before he went to Madrid, and just the way they were both absolutely playing out of their skin, getting, like, in the 40s, like, just busting a gut, basically. Yeah.
absolutely playing as well as you feasibly could. That's still nowhere near 60. It's unreal.
I bet the Shearer and Ferdinand
just
put
in
together.
The league. No, just in the league. Yeah.
Well, Messi seems sort of hell bent on trying to break that record, didn't he? But on when he was asked about that years later, he said, "People ask me if that 60 goal record will ever be beaten. I think it will. But there's only one man who'll do it, and that's the fella that walks on water. I think he's the only one."
Messi, right?
Yeah, that's right. Of course, he was allowed to leave the pitch early after doing that to get the standing ovation.
But
apparently, the crowd just went mental.
Yeah,
when
but
he
they
got
did.
Ginola-esque.
Now, incredibly, Everton were actually relegated only 2 years later, but they were straight back into Division One the following season. Dean getting 37 goals.
Yeah, good.
37. You'd hope only just over half.
Yeah. That's a step down. He should be scoring more.
Yeah, he's a lower league as well. But he did score in 12 successive league matches, which I think might be another unbeaten record. It's certainly one hell of a mean feat. Now, when it was 1931-32 league season, and Everton, newly promoted, they won the first division against Herbert Chapman's Arsenal by 2 points, 45 goals.
Oh, that's when they played Pete Chapman, that's right.
Yeah, 45 goals in 38 games that season. And Everton became one of the only a few clubs to have won the second division and the first division in consecutive seasons.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. He left Everton in 1937. He was calming down then, injuries and whatnot. It was towards the end of his career. But he had 433 appearances for them and 383 goals.
Get in there.
Reports that it includes 37 hat tricks.
Wow. I wonder if that's a record. Yeah. It's got to be near the top, isn't it?
Let's assume everything is a record until someone writes in and tells otherwise.
You'll be surprised. You won't be surprised that he's Everton's all-time leading scorer. Yeah. It's absolutely incredible. And as I said, injuries began to take their toll. And he was sold to Notts County ahead of.
But they won the 1933 FA Cup.
They did 3-0. That yeah.
Against City, wasn't it?
Manchester City. Yeah. 37-38 season went to Notts County. He was only played for them 9 games and got 3 goals, which is a shocking statistic for the great man. And his career kind of wound down. He played for England 16 times and scored 18 goals.
Wow.
You know?
That's ridiculous. Yeah. I suppose there wouldn't have been as many internationals around then.
No, which would
explain why it's such a sort of small amount of caps.
No, very true. But his name was known through far and wide. I mean, I think this lovely little story tells it. Well, lovely, you make up your own minds. But when British soldiers were in Libya in 1940, they kidnapped an Italian. He became an Italian prisoner of war. And when they captured this Italian soldier, and you'll have to excuse my language here, the soldier said on capture, "Fuck your Winston Churchill and fuck your Dixie Dean."
God.
Wow.
So yeah, and they had a belated testimonial match at Goodison in 1964, and in 2001 of course the Dixie Dean statue was erected outside the stadium with the inscription "Footballer, Gentleman, Evertonian." In 2002 Dixie Dean became an inaugural inductee to the English Football Hall of Fame. So he'd be in another Hall of Fame in just a moment.
Done the warm up.
He died of a heart attack at Goodison Park during a Merseyside derby in 1980.
Apt.
Incredibly, Bill Shankly, speaking at a pre-match dinner before that game, said of Dixie Dean, "He belongs to the company of the supremely great, like Beethoven, Shakespeare, and Rembrandt." High praise indeed from the great
Liverpool man. Yeah, Liverpool man. Great stuff.
Incredible.
And in comes Dixie Dean to the Dean Windass Hall of Fame.
And not before time.
The Dixie Dean Windass Hall of Fame.
So you can all stop emailing us now.
There it is. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've had a nice time. The email address is podcast@thefootballramble.com and the website is thefootballramble.com. James or Jim, what's going on over there?
Well, the blogs are there and I'm going to give you a little roundup. In this week's Ramble blog, I hide from the fallout of the Carling Cup. Andy Brassel goes on a European adventure with a cast of Ramble listeners and James Appel explores the harsh rigours of Russian pre-season. That is particularly interesting, as always, with James Appel. Elsewhere, Chris Nee explains how the flamboyant mayor of Las Vegas wants an MLS team in his city. Steve Grant looks at how Millwall's on-field progress has been overshadowed because of recent unsavoury events. There's another piece about Millwall, isn't there? Sort of kind of standing up for them as well.
Both sides of the debate.
Yeah, and that's from Charlie Mahoney as well. So get yourself over to the Ramble blog. There's plenty to look at.
Also, you may or may not be aware that every Friday we do a little bit of Ramble Extra, sort of 10 or 15 minutes extra material. It used to be on 442.com. Well, it's on the footballramble.com now.
Wow.
So taking it back.
Taking the power back, baby. So this Friday.
Got the bus across the internet.
Yeah. The information superhighway. And so on Friday, come across to the footballramble.com and you'll hear us talking about things like FC St. Pauli. Yeah, a former Colombian international and Pete favourite opening a bar in Newcastle City Centre. So that's Friday around
lunch.
Who could it be?
It's Carlos Valderrama, isn't it?
It's Alan Valderrama. Yeah.
And yeah, around lunchtime on Friday, footballramble.com, Ramble Extra.
Ramble Extra.
In your face,
indeed.
Bitches.
And remember, the footballramble, picklive.com.
I played yesterday and didn't do too well.
Okay.
Good. That money he lost could have been yours, listening.
That's right.
In fact, it almost certainly was in some cases.
Say goodbye, James.
Goodbye, James.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Laters.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Bye.
And it's goodbye from me. We're all off to play for Craig Brown and Archie Knox. Cheers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.